Hey, Kirk.
Hey, Greg, how's it going?
Good, man. Long time no talkie.
Yeah, I know.
All right, man. You ready to talk some fantasy football?
Let's talkie some fantasy football.
All right. Hey, well, I guess seeing how we're recording this one Thursday night as well, there's no need to talk about news or anything because we told you on the last episode.
Yeah, so get off our backs.
Yeah, so, yeah. Quit being so needy.
Yeah. Jesus.
This again is a continuation of kind of the series we've been doing on, the value of fantasy, of players in fantasy drafts. First, we talked about sleepers. Last episode, we talked about guys who we don't think are good values. Today, this show, we're going to talk about fantasy starters who we think are, you can take it to the bank. They're going to be worth their value. They're going to be fantasy studs, and they're going to be, you know, maybe some of those fantasy MVPs on your team that you can, again, we're willing to stake the reputation of this show on this episode.
The long-standing reputation.
Yes.
We have a proven track record.
Similar every year, to Hillary Clinton. Yeah, every year we do this, and every year we're 100% right.
Right. As long as you have amnesia.
Yeah.
About the previous years.
All right. So I guess
I left the plane. We were under sniper fire. We had to run with our heads down.
Yes, exactly like that. All right, you ready to get into it, man?
Yes.
All right, so again, these are the guys we are willing to die on these hills, and because of this, I'm really gonna give it to you, Kirk. I'm gonna challenge you on your picks. So you better be spot on here because we owe it to our one or two listeners.
I am. All right. I'm going to be right again.
All right. So let's just go in order of the positions. Let's start with the quarterback position. Who do you have, Kirk? Who is your stud quarterback?
My stud quarterback? My stud quarterback is right now in my statistical analysis the 15th. Best quarterback as far as draft position goes. Basically in the, 10 team league, it's in the 12th round, is Philip Rivers.
Oh.
Philip Rivers, I think not only for that value, I just think, last year he was a 4,500 yard quarterback, 28-10. He has a wonderful wide receiver that I think is just going to continue to flourish. So he has a top five wide receiver, possibly a top five running back. He has a couple different pieces that I think are going to be good. The only question mark is tight end, but he might get Antonio Gates back. I think he's at the end of his career. But like all the other older quarterbacks, he's still slinging around and still worth, taking a chance on. And he's the 15th best quarterback drafted. Wait. I mean, he's someone's second quarterback, possibly.
Right.
And he may actually be better than the starter. So I'm willing to bet that the Los Angeles Chargers quarterback, Philip Rivers, is absolutely worth taking in the 12th round.
Oh, heck yeah. So you and I kind of share the same mindset. I can see you and I having Matthew Stafford, Philip Rivers, or my pick, who is the 14th quarterback being taken right now, and that's Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
I can see us having those three quarterbacks on a lot of our teams.
Yes.
But before I talk about Ben, just go back on Rivers. He is going to be a quarterback number one this year. I think there's no doubt about it. You look at last year and you can say, well, that's because Keenan Allen was healthy and they were clicking. Go to the year before. He threw for more touchdown passes and more yards the year before. yes, he had a ton more of interceptions and he wasn't as efficient, but if there's no Keenan Allen there, he's still slinging the ball.
Yes.
You know, that was with Tyrell Williams and who else was it? Travis Benjamin. I mean, he makes it work. It doesn't matter who's there to catch the ball. Yeah, Hunter Henry is a big loss, the injury there. But, yeah, read an article today. He's building great rapport with Virgil Green. You know, like you said, they may sign Antonio Gates. So, love that pick.
Right, right. And Melvin Gordon, I think, is going to help pick up the slack for the lack of a solid tight end. So he's in a situation.
Yeah, they're also looking at first round draft pick last year, Mike Williams, to fill that void too. You know, he's 6'4", 220. Looking at him filling that red zone role. So, you know, he was injured most last year. So really excited to see what he can do too. So getting back to my pick, Ben. Again, 14th quarterback. He's going as the 11th pick in the 10th round. During the second half of last fantasy season, he was the quarterback number one. So not just one of the top 12 quarterbacks. He was the number one overall quarterback during the second half of the season. You know, the worst finish he had in the game in the second half of last season was 13. He was just slinging it. Typically, Ben has very bad home road splits to where he's significantly better at home than he is on the road, and that is a real concern. But last year, that wasn't necessarily the case. The reason I like him is, he's obviously a very talented quarterback, and he has the potential for these huge games. But he is surrounded by more talent than any other quarterback in the league, and it's I don't think it's really even close. Their defense is not going to be good again this year, so I think they will need to score. I mean, significantly, you know, more. Yeah, they're going to have to put up high points to outscore their opponents. They're not going to be in those typical Steelers grind them out 13-10 type of wins. That's not who they are anymore. So Ben is my pick for quarterback.
Yeah, it's hard to argue how elite his players are at the important positions. His running back is going to be the first or second pick of almost any draft, even some dynasty drafts that you could still argue he's worth taking up there. Antonio Brown is in all redraft leagues is wide receiver taken, and you're foolish to not take him. These guys are just unbelievable. And then Juju is just going to do what Juju does, and he's probably going to have a very impressive year. So those three players there, they're probably better than some teams' best players at all. I mean, you're going to draft those three guys, and you're probably going to be better off on your fantasy team. So you're a homer, so.
Yeah, as you can tell, all my picks have been Steeler picks. So
right.
All right. Hey, so let's move on to running back. Who do you have at running back?
I have, and this is the one where I had a couple that I am, you know, I'm going back and forth on, but I keep falling back to this guy. He's in my stats, 15th best running back. He's going in the third round. And I think that's a very, very good pick. I have Jordan Howard. I think, I think based on the way this year's been going, assuming health, I think they're going to use him more efficiently than they did last year. I think he's going to be a little bit more used in the passing game, not to take anything away from Tariq Cohen, but I think he's going to be more of an every down back. And I mean, he had a kind of a mediocre year with 1,120 yards and 9 touchdowns last year. So he certainly has the pedigree to be a top 10, possibly top 7 running back. And I just think where he's going to be in your draft, if he's your number 2, again, that's fantastic. He almost led us to the playoffs last year as our best running back, that we drafted him as our second best running back.
Yeah, after David Johnson got hurt.
Right.
The thing I like about him is, What do you have? 9 rushing touchdowns last year, you said?
Yeah.
And that was on an awful offense. Just a right. putrid, stagnant offense. I mean, there's a lot of buzz about, you know, the new coach and all the new talent they brought in. You've got to expect that rushing touchdown number to go up. And I mean, if that goes up 12, 14 touchdowns, that is elite type numbers there. You know, he's going to get the rushing yards because that's all he's done in his first 2 years in the league. So yeah, really like that.
And here's, you know, as you look at the stats, what pops out, he has 500 yard games, which typically a top flight running back, 5, 6, 7, that's kind of what you're going to get, is 100 yard games. I mean, rarely do you get now the running back that's just going to go, you know, 100 yards, averaging over 100 yards every week. But it was the games to where things weren't going well, to where they just were just awful for him because they just, the offense was just that bad. And I think that's what's going to pick up. He's going to have 500-yard games, and then the rest of them hopefully will at least come up to like a 50, 60, 70-yard average.
Yeah, they're going to be in more games this year. Their defense is actually pretty decent, you know, so – yeah, for running backs, as long as they're not getting blown out, they're gonna be relevant.
All right.
All right. So my running back is the 20th running back being chosen right now, 40th overall pick. So that would put him at the fourth pick of the fourth round, and that is Jay Ajayi. What's you don't like that one?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, let me tell you why I do like him. Last year in his second half of the season with Philly, he only had 70 rushes, but he had 408 yards. So he was averaging 5.82 yards per carry with Philadelphia. You know, may look last year like he didn't have a great year. He had 870 some rushing yards. But remember, he really had three bye weeks. Remember Miami last year? I don't know if you remember. Miami and Tampa Bay had the week one bye week because of the hurricane. Right. Was it Irene?
Right.
So he had week one off. Then he gets traded to Philadelphia and then has another bye week with Philadelphia.
Right.
And then he was set on week 17 because Philly was doing so well. So he would have been 1,000-yard back last year if it was just a normal season. It's just the way things shook out. He wasn't, he had a couple 100-yard games with the Dolphins, you know, when he had huge volume, but that was just such an awful offensive line. Philadelphia's offensive line is rated as the best in the league right now by Pro Fantasy Football Talk. So look for him to continue with it. He's not going to average 5.8 yards a carry, but he's going to be very effective. Carson Wentz is hurt. Alshon Jeffrey's banged up. LeGarrette Blount and his 173 carries are gone. So they're going to rely on him. You know, in the last three regular season games where he played and the playoffs, he was getting the majority of the carries with the exception of the Super Bowl where he only had 9. But he's a good running back on a good team, and they're going to put up points. I think he has no chance of being a top 6 running back. But he will be either I think he'll be a high-end running back 2, potential of being a low-end running back number 1. He's going to be better than the 20th running back in the league, and I would put money on that right now.
Yeah, you are putting money on it because you're going to have him on your team. So, yeah, you are relying on him to do that. So, yeah, I guess that's, you know, your argument is fine. Yeah, you factor in, you know, 2 full games of, you know, averaging 60 yards. Yeah, I see that. He's 1,000-yard back.
So remember last year.
Going to overcome the onslaught of Corey Clement on his own team.
Here's the fear, you know, here's the thing with Jay Ajayi compared to those other top flight running backs, right? And if you say this about Jay Ajayi, you have to say it about Jordan Howard. Corey Clement's going to steal the third down work and the catches. So Jay Ajayi's not going to get, you know, the catches that Melvin Gordon or, you know, David Johnson, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley are going to get. He's not going to be up in that 60 range. He may have 25 to 30, which, you know, that's Jordan Howard best case scenario. So that is a concern. You know, the touchdowns are a concern, especially if they give Clement the ball inside the 20, which they kind of did late last year. I admit those things are a concern, but I think Jay Ajayi, I would be surprised if he doesn't get at least 230 or 240 carries. So,
okay. Well, you stake your life on it.
This is it.
Yeah.
There's no looking back. All right, wide receiver.
Well, I have this eerie feeling that
it's going to be the same for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just to clarify, we did not deconflict these picks prior to the show. I felt like all our picks for all these last three episodes, I did feel like this would be the one that would be the same too.
Is yours your wide receiver Larry Fitzgerald?
It is not.
Oh, that's who mine is.
Oh, he was a very close second for me.
I have Larry Fitzgerald as my, especially where he's going to be drafted in just about every format. He's going to be undervalued easily. I can't imagine what his dollar amount will be in a whatchamacallit draft.
Auction draft. Yeah.
But this is a guy who's going to get another quarterback who's going to throw the ball. He's coming off a 109 catch season, 1,100, almost 1,200 yards, 6 touchdowns, and he's what, 65 years old?
He is.
He seems to be in perfect shape for this team at this point, because he's not the focus, but he is so important to that offense. So I think either quarterback, whichever one is playing, he's going to be close to 100 catches, 1,000 yards this year, and you're going to be able to steal him.
Yeah, and that's Larry. He has transcended the bad quarterback play on the team. I mean, Drew Stanton, you know, I mean, those guys, like, and again, you cited his stats last year, 109 catches. That's his third straight season of over 100 catches. That's his third straight season of being in PPR leagues a wide receiver number one. He was the wide receiver number 5 last year.
Right.
And then people still, yeah, he still, you know, is undervalued and late. I mean, the fact that you could get him as a wide receiver number 2 or 3 on your team is ridiculous. So absolutely love that. Yeah, he was my second in consideration for this. You know, I think with Sam Bradford there, I think that's a perfect marriage. With Josh Rosen, if he does get some time, we'll see. And the other thing too is that there's nobody there to threaten him for looks.
Yeah, even if there are, he's still the better option.
Right. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, that number 2 slot for the team is unsettled. I mean, really, it's David Johnson is the number 2 receiving option for that team.
Right. Right.
So, okay. Well, very good. Hey, any guess on who mine will be? I thought you would pick this guy too, because we've talked about him a lot.
Demaryius Thomas.
You got it.
Yep. I didn't
spot on
because of I was trying to, I guess I outthought myself. I thought you'd have Larry Fitzgerald, and I wanted to pick Fitzgerald, and I was talking about Demaryius Thomas. Okay, yeah, go ahead.
The Demaryius Thomas, 17th wide receiver being taken right now, 39th overall pick, so he's going early 4th round. 6 straight seasons of 140-plus targets. That's what I love about him. I don't think that will change. The last 3 years or 2 years, the quarterback play in the Broncos has been unbelievably bad, and he still had 83 catches and 90 catches in those years. He was still a wide receiver number 2 for fantasy purposes in those years. Last year was his first year where in the last 6 where he didn't have a 1,000 yards. I think Case Keenum is actually a good NFL quarterback. I don't think his year in Minnesota last year was fluky. So I think that Demaryius Thomas is going to have a huge upgrade in stats, especially in the tight end. Or good Lord, if I keep saying tight end for touchdowns. So if I can get that figured out, that'd be good for this show.
I wonder how many tight ends Tariq Diggs is going to have.
Yeah. Oh, goodness. All right. So, again, I think his floor, so in other words, the worst he can do is a low-end wide receiver number two, which is, you know, he's being drafted. That's where he's being drafted right now. I don't see a scenario, barring injury, to where he's any worse than a wide receiver number two. But his upside is a mid-level to low-end wide receiver number one. I mean, especially if he gets 150 targets, which I think he will.
Right.
His touchdowns go up. I mean, it's he's guaranteed 90-plus receptions, guaranteed, you know, I think 1,100 yards. And if he gets 7 touchdowns, that's wide receiver one type of numbers right there. So
the only screw up is Case Keenum. He's really, you know, if you believe he's going to be close to what he was last year, well, then Demaryius Thomas is going to be the beneficiary of that, because two wide receivers last year prospered off of Case Keenum. So if he's anything close to that, then Demaryius Thomas is going to be the best player on that team.
So, and just to recap with Demaryius Thomas and Emmanuel Sanders, I think Emmanuel Sanders is going to be improved this year too. Remember last year, it was Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch, and Brock Osweiler. All those quarterbacks, I think all of their passer rating was in the 60s.
Right.
The year before, you had Trevor Siemian, Paxton Lynch. The year before, you had bad Peyton Manning and Brock Osweiler. So that's what he's been dealing with the last 3 years. He's still, I mean, essentially overcome that to be a good fantasy player. So, you know, right now he's being drafted, I think, where his floor is as a low end two. So I'm gonna pick him up.
Okay.
All right, good. Moving on, tight end, who you got?
Well, this one I'm really excited about. I've just brought up both his career stats to where I feel he's going to go back to, or at least come close to. And that is Jimmy Graham. Now, I know he's a good player, but right now he's in the fifth round of most leagues. He's the fourth best, you know, tight end option as far as what they rank him. I have him shooting up the charts to where I think he's going to be back in the realm of Gronkowski, back into his days where he was playing with the Saints. Let's just go over that real quick. 2000, I know it's a little ways away, but he's not that old. 2011, 99 catches, 1,300 yards, 11 touchdowns. He then fell down a little bit, had 85 catches, 982 yards, 9 touchdowns. 86 catches, 1,200 yards, 16 touchdowns. 85 catches, almost 900 yards and 10 touchdowns. Even when he was being misused, he had a 65 catch, 923 yard season, 6 touchdowns. Last year he had 10 touchdowns. I think he's going to fall into the best situation he's been in since with the Saints. Clearly with an elite quarterback who is going to be looking for targets. And with the receiving core being question marks and him desiring a white receiver of some kind, Jimmy Graham is going to be the closest thing to a white receiver. He's a redhead. So he's going to be looking for him to pick up the Jordy Nelson slack. We do believe that Devontae Adams is going to be a top 10 or top 15 wide receiver, but I think Jimmy Graham is going to be a slam dunk this year. This may be the only one that I could actually feel that is going that I would draft him in the fifth round as a tight end, depending upon how I've drafted so far. Now consider this: similar players at that position: Deshaun Watson, Golden Tate, Tom Brady, Mark Ingram, Alshon Jeffrey, Greg Olsen. In his realm, I think he's outside of getting Deshaun Watson because of the way you want to go after a quarterback. He's better than all those other players, I think, or he's going to be better than all those players. I think he's going to be a 85 catch, 1,000 yard, and double digit touchdowns this year.
Okay, so I think, well, here's what I think about that. I think you haven't watched Jimmy Graham play in a long time. I think he is not the same player he was in New Orleans. He is much closer to an old Antonio Gates than he is the old Jimmy Graham. Like he's all the lower body injuries he has. He is not like that. He cannot stretch the field. I think his yards per catch last year was like 7 or 8 yards. I mean, it is way different than what he used to be. I think, outside of the games where he has touchdowns, I don't think he's going to be relevant. I see him as 50 catches, 600 yards, and hopefully 8 touchdowns. I would not take him in the 5th round. So as much as you hate my Jay Ajayi pick, I hate your Jimmy Graham pick.
Good.
He'll be there available for you.
Exactly. Yeah. I can't wait. I may be able to wait on him 10 too.
What's that?
I may even be able to wait on him a little bit and get him.
Yeah. The other thing I'll say is that, Aaron Rodgers typically does not go to his tight ends. I think he's had 1 or 2 years in his career where he's had a number one tight end. Having said that, good quarterbacks, they throw to where the talent is. I agree with your argument that the wide receiver core, other than Devontae Adams, who I think is a top 6 receiver, other than him, there's nobody else other than maybe the running backs. Yeah, that receiving core is not looking great. So I buy that side of the argument.
But I
am not there. I buy into that stuff. Basically, any side of the argument that has nothing to do with Jimmy Graham, I buy into. when you start talking about his talent or what he brings to the table, that's where I fall off. Wow. So, look, it's not like my pick is that much better. I'm going with a guy who's been at least Jimmy Graham has been great for fantasy the last couple of years. My guy has not. And that's Jordan Reed. Right now being the 9th tight end, being selected overall. So he's being taken as the 3rd pick in the 8th round. Last 3 years, though, in points per game, this is where he's finished. 8th, 1st, and 1st.
Right.
So I get it.
That's great.
Well, the games where he gets injured, those are still accounted in these stats here. So, I mean, that just shows you how great he is even outside of that. And that's the thing with him is he's played 50% of the games the last 3 years. That is the big question mark with him. But here's why I think that's okay. If you pick a player in the 5th round, if you pick Jimmy Graham in the 5th round, you better expect to ride him out the entire year.
Oh, God, yeah.
If you pick Jordan Reed in the 8th round or the 9th round and he doesn't pan out, that's okay. That you're not banking on that. You can stream the tight end position. So that's why I'm fine with taking Jordan Reed as opposed to Jimmy Graham. I think Jordan Reed, with them getting Alex Smith, again, I think I said last episode that Alex Smith may be the best quarterback throwing to the tight end position. There's no stud receivers on the Redskins. They have 3 guys with a lot of potential, Richardson, Doxson, Jameson Crowder, but no true studs. And I think Jordan Reed is, when he's in the game, he is up there with Gronk as far as the best tight ends in the game.
Well, and it's not even where he plays. He doesn't even get to complete games. He starts games and almost always doesn't even finish those games. So you're right. He's talented, and if no one tackles him, he's probably the greatest tight end to ever play the game. But he can't even He can't.
Hey, look.
He's awful.
Last year, he suffered from toe injuries all year. You know what he did? He had those bones in his toes removed. So, crisis averted.
Is his foot just going to flop around?
Yes. Yes. There's no chance of him injuring those toes again.
Yeah, that's a great conversation with the doctor. Yeah, these bones are awful.
Remember Ronnie Lott, I think, dislocated his pinky, and the doctor said, "You're going to miss a game." He goes, "Well, what if you cut it off?" He goes, "Well, then you can play this week."
Right.
So he doesn't have a full-size pinky. So it's the same thing. Jeez. Jordan Reed, he eliminated the problem. So, and here's why I like Jordan Reed is you pick a tight end late. I'm not looking for Delanie Walker or Kyle Rudolph or even Jimmy Graham, guys who will have, you know, 8-point weeks that I can stream that and play the waiver wire game to hope to get that type of production. Jordan Reed can have 25-point weeks. That's the type of upside you have with him. So that's why, again, I think if he's healthy, if he plays, I think he's a locked and loaded top five tight end.
Well, see, here's where this may change. Like you said with Alex Smith, him being a tight end friend, Vernon Davis, he's at the end of his career, but he's still athletic enough, and that's not a bad backup tight end, and he showed some value down the season. I know it was mostly, you know, touchdowns, but still, as a tight end, he seemed to as a backup tight end, he had a 650 yard season and 3 touchdowns.
Yep.
It's not bad. That, I don't know how that's going to shake out.
There is
a third tight end, Jeremy Sprinkle, that you want to pay attention to. Just because of his name.
Vernon Davis is part of the reason why I love Jordan Reed.
Right.
Because when Jordan Reed plays, it's not like they're both out there at the same time. Jordan Reed is the for sure guy.
Right.
And when he is out, Vernon Davis is the for sure starter tight end and gets all those targets. So, again, I think that is why there is so little risk in drafting Jordan Reed late. If he gets hurt, you pick up Vernon Davis, and you're fine there. So, again. Well,
and just to go back to Jeremy Sprinkle, he is very efficient. He had a catch for 7 yards and a touchdown, and that's on par with Jordan Reed's playing, you know, efficiency. When he's out in the field, he's effective. Jeremy Sprinkle, when he touches the ball, he's getting a touchdown, basically. So he's on pace for record-setting performances, similar to Jordan Reed.
I believe it was Jeremy Sprinkle to where Buddy Ryan said all he does is catch touchdowns.
That's right. That's who he was referring to.
Mm. One catch for 7 yards and a touchdown. That sounds like, are you sure that's not a Jimmy Graham stat line?
That's his weekly. Yeah. Weekly stat line is Jimmy
Graham. That's what you can expect from Jimmy Graham this year, which is great. I mean, you get a touchdown every week.
Right. He did have a 3-yard touchdown catch against Dallas, Jimmy Graham. That was, you know, that's efficient.
That's almost half as long as Jimmy Sprinkles.
That's right. Jeremy Sprinkles.
Yep. That's the one. All right. Well, good. Hey, so getting closer to the season, Kirk, we are going to have to, because obviously we had some disagreements here, we're going to have to start making some bets and following through on those bets. Obviously, we're not going to do that in the preseason, but got to look forward to that coming up.
Yes.
So we've got some special things in store for the fans.
Right.
Some videos that will be posted to the Facebook page, but make sure you all stay tuned for that.
Yeah, at the risk of both of our marriages, we are going to have certain bets that impact our family life. So
our family, our kids, our wives, our faces.
hide your kids, hide your wife.
You are so dumb. Yeah. For real. All right. You got anything else?
No, that's it.
All right, man. Well, hey, that's all for the Fancy Boys. We are signing off.
And fading out.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.